we provide backup support to FEMA in emergency situations. In other words, we provide supplies to them when they exhaust the supplies that they have on hand. They have several distribution centers stationed around the United States where they store food and other supplies. And when they exhaust those supplies at their distribution centers, then they turn to us to procure supplies and move them to locations where they're needed.
And this is ongoing cooperation?
It is ongoing cooperation. After Hurricane Katrina, we established an interagency agreement with FEMA, which essentially the nature of that agreement is it eliminated several steps that were previously required in order for us to support FEMA. And by eliminating those steps, we're able to respond much more rapidly to their requirements.
So this is a lesson learned in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina.
Absolutely. And last year, I think that interagency agreement really served us very well, served FEMA very well, served the victims of the hurricanes very well, because we provided 30 million meals in 30 days to FEMA in support of Hurricanes Gustav and Ike. And that interagency agreement gave us the flexibility to very rapidly respond to their requirements and move them to required locations.
And still, you exercise. You're trying, I think, to perfect the art. So tell us what the exercises were about and the outcome, things that you learned.
Sure. Absolutely. You know, the purpose of the exercise, of course, is to ensure that we continue to we're able to provide the same level of support we provided last year, this year, and in the future. You never can train too much for an operation of this nature. As you know, just by its very nature, FEMA emergency, those are often very challenging situations for us. So the purpose of that exercise was to ensure that we know and understand, fully understand requirements and work through all the processes that we use internally within Defense Logistics Agency to source those requirements. What we did during the exercise, of course, we would get a requirement from FEMA. We would determine for food, for example, we would determine, okay, we're going to source it from this location, one of our locations, and then we would transition to sourcing it from commercial sources so that we were able to exercise and go through all the processes that we'll use in the event of an emergency this year.
And so if I could just back you up a moment, and well, let me reintroduce you to John Hall, Executive Director for Operations and Sustainment for the Defense Logistics Agency. And so each new emergency is dynamic. The players change, things change, right?
Absolutely. I mean, even during the course of last year's two major events, Gustav and Ike, I mean, it changed every day. Requirements changed. And so training on those requirements and ensuring we fully understand both our internal processes and how we work with FEMA was absolutely essential. And that exercise, I think, served us very well to prepare us for this season.
How's the communication between the two agencies? Do you have interoperable communications?
We certainly do. And not only do we have interoperable communications, but we also exchange liaison officers with each other. So we have defense logistics agencies. When an emergency arises, we post an LNO, what we call liaison officer, over at FEMA headquarters with their logistics directorate, and they do the same with us. So not only do we have interoperable communications, but we have personnel at each of our headquarters to ensure that we fully understand what the each agency is doing.
And so did that require a technology upgrade on the part of both agencies in order to get that all up and running?
No, not really, but I can tell you that we are continually looking at technology upgrades. One of the lessons learned from this current exercise was that we need better in-transit visibility so that as supplies are moving across the United States from one location to another, we know exactly where they are so that we could divert them to other locations should the nature of the emergency change. As a result of that, FEMA has procured 3,000 what are called transponders, devices that they provided to the Defense Logistics Agency that we will then place on trucks, commercial trucks that will be moving to support locations around the United States and provide us that visibility that both we and FEMA need in order to manage the situation.
So it's kind of like a big moving RFID tag.
Exactly.
And, I mean, this is the way of the future. Isn't that the way that the Defense Department is moving to, that you track every piece of material?
Yeah, absolutely. That visibility is essential to support changing nature of an emergency situation in the United States or the changing nature of a battlefield anywhere in the world.
Well, isn't that amazing? Because you really can track any piece of, information in real time. And it's being done by, companies that ship for a living like UPS and Federal Express. And now the Defense Logistics Agency and FEMA are employing that technology. I think it's a great step forward. So what else did you learn, sir, in this exercise process?
Well, what we did during the exercise, of course, one of the things we did was we didn't just do it routinely. So we imposed events on top of the exercise. For example, we cut phone lines during one part of the exercise, cut email during another part of the exercise. So we had to learn how to use redundant means of communication to ensure that we continued to have communication. So that's probably the most important matter that we have between FEMA and us, that we ensure that we keep the communications flowing, because, as I said, it changes. We're very frequently changing requirements, so we have to ensure thoroughly understand what's needed where and what changes.
Well, and you were also preparing for back-to-back hurricanes, which, quite frankly, you could be in the middle of a relief effort and have to, start another relief effort because of a hurricane either in the same location or not very far away.
Yes, and that's exactly what happened last year. We were in the middle of one hurricane supporting that, and then we had to shift from primarily Louisiana to supporting Texas, and had to manage continuing support in Louisiana while we were gearing up to support Texas.
And, sir, I understand that Defense Logistics also has some humanitarian efforts overseas. Tell us about that.
Right. We have humanitarian supplies that are stored at distribution depots around the world. And of course, when an event happens overseas, State Department manages that, and then they provide they get authorization for the Defense Department to work with the Defense Department to provide authorization for Department of Defense to provide that support, and then we respond. We respond with tents, cots, blankets, items such as that. We can respond with also food items. But we keep those supplies, we manage those supplies, and are prepared to provide that support.
All right, so in the tsunami that took place in Indonesia not too long ago, would that be an example of where you might provide support?
Right. That's right. Her earthquakes around the world, from time to time, we provided support as well.
Well, we thank you so much for joining us to talk about this joint cooperation between Defense Logistics and FEMA. Glad the exercise worked well, and we hope you don't have back-to-back hurricanes to actually contend with in the future.
We sure hope so. We believe we're prepared. We believe FEMA's prepared, but we hope we don't have to exercise that for real this year.